Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, November 9th, 2017. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, State Farm Exec Touts Technology, Says Company Committed to Bloomington Normal, by Maria Nagel. Bloomington. While speaking to 120 people Wednesday at the Illinois State University's Alumni Center, State Farm Executive Dwayne Farrington asked how many of them owned a drone. About 30 hands were raised. "Think about what you can do with that technology when a hailstorm comes through," said Farrington in a speech about the future of the insurance industry as part of the ISU College of Business Community Engagement Speakers Series. The Executive Vice President, whose overall responsibilities include information technology, business and systems, and technology integration, also repeated State Farm's commitment to the Twin Cities in an interview with the Pantograph. "Our home office is here in Bloomington, and we plan on staying here," he said. "We have always fluctuated around 15,000 employees in the community, give or take a few thousand. We have been higher at times and we have been lower at times. Our goal has always been right around that number." Farrington kicked off the speakers series launched to celebrate the business college's 50th anniversary. Drones can now go up and survey that damage," said Farrington. "Drones can do multiple homes at one time. It's safer for our employees if they don't have to climb on roofs." During the recent hurricanes on the East Coast and in Houston, State Farm used drones to assess the widespread damage. "So you can start that insurance recovery before human beings can even get back into the damaged area," he said. While the use of drones might mean insurance agents will spend less time on ladders, technology will never totally replace the human factor in insurance sales, said Farrington. In October, the company said it was restructuring its information technology department over the next year, offering severance payment to certain employees who voluntarily choose to leave the company. The restructuring is intended to better serve customers' increasing expectations for simpler, faster, technology-driven ways to do business with the company, including more sophisticated online and mobile solutions to customers in our fast-paced, hyper-connected world, the company previously said. "It's a matter of understanding external employees," Farrington said Wednesday. "They are temporary in nature, so we utilize them when we need to, and when we don't need to, we can come back to a normal number of people who are actually doing the work. So that is what you see happening." When Farrington was asked if managers were being laid off, he said, "Right now we have a number of activities of transformation going on." He added, "We're giving people opportunities to leave early, and we're assessing how we place the rest of those people. We always think about our employees when we do that, and we try to do that in the most thoughtful way we can." He declined to give a number of employees affected. Farrington said, besides explaining how technology is impacting the business world, he hoped his speech also addressed how we live and how we act today, and how important that the insurance industry embraces that technology and uses it to provide better products and services. An example he gave was driverless automobiles. With 94% of car accidents caused by human error, Farrington sees such vehicles resulting in fewer deaths and safer roads. "If you can take the human element out of it, we will be safer on the road," said Farrington. "When you have fewer accidents, you have fewer claims, and that has a huge implication on State Farm and all insurance companies in terms of the rates drivers pay." Telematics systems built into new cars can provide information about the distance, time of day, and driving habits, including speeds and hard braking. Based on that information, insurance companies can provide individual automobile insurance coverage based on how the driver actually drives. So the safer you drive, the more discounts you can get off of your insurance, said Farrington. The next story is headlined, As POW, Vietnam Vet Had to Make a Prayer to God, by Maria Nagel. Bloomington. William J. Reich's first trip on an airplane was flying from his home in Wisconsin to Texas to join the U.S. Air Force. The first time he parachuted from a plane was when he was shot down in a F-4D Phantom over North Vietnam on May 11, 1972. Reich was captured and taken to the prisoner of war camp, derisively known among American POWs held there as the Hanoi Hilton, where many were tortured and held in solitary confinement in an effort to break their spirit. Happiness greater than I'd ever known is how Reich described his release from captivity nearly a year later. The retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel will be the guest speaker at the 5th Annual Veterans Day 1-on-1 dinner Thursday night in the Brown Ballroom at Illinois State University's Bone Student Center, Normal. The private event, sponsored by the 5 Twin City Rotary Clubs, honors military veterans. Each attending Rotarian sponsors and pays for the dinner of a veteran. Reich will be the guest of Bloomington Interim City Manager Steve Rasmussen. The two men were roommates at the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. While they've stayed in touch by telephone and through email, the dinner will be their first face-to-face reunion since graduating from the Academy in June 1970. Reich said he accepted Rasmussen's invitation to speak because he believes in the importance of Veterans Day, which is Saturday, and remembering those who serve their country in the military. The biggest price I paid for serving my country in combat was to be a POW, says Reich. But I know guys who were killed, and I think it's important to recognize the willingness of people to put themselves in that situation. When Reich's plane went down, Rasmussen was serving with the 101st Airborne Infantry Division in South Vietnam. A lot of times we went out to rescue downed flyers, said Rasmussen. Reich, unfortunately, was shot down north of Hanoi, so that was deep into North Vietnam, and we couldn't mount a rescue mission in time to get him. So he was captured by the North Vietnamese. Reich had flown more than 100 missions, 30 over Vietnam, out of Udorn Royal Thai Air Force Base in Thailand, before he was shot down. I was tired and injured. I was cut, burned, and my arm was broken, Reich later wrote as part of a compilation of the accounts of 33 Air Force Academy graduates who were POWs in Vietnam. My future was in doubt, yet the first night in solitary, my morale was raised by the contact with other Americans, he wrote. A togetherness, a unity of the American prisoners was made apparent to me, one that the North Vietnamese were never able to break, even though that was their highest goal. Boredom was the persistent enemy, and companionship was most important and made solo confinement most inhumane, he recalled. Eventually, his captors gave him a Bible to read, which Reich said he read through cover to cover twice, not because he was that religious, but just to have something to read. 45 years later, Reich said the biggest impact on his life from his time as a POW was that it led him to become a believer in God. When I was a POW, I realized I absolutely had no control over what was going on, and that I was at the mercy of the North Vietnamese soldiers, he said. I just felt this sudden need to make a prayer to God. In the Bible, it talks about the peace that passes all understanding, and that was the feeling I immediately had over myself. It kind of grew from there. After his release from captivity, Reich resumed his Air Force career, leaving active service in 1979. He then served in the Air Force Reserve, retiring in 1998. Since then, Reich has been a chief engineer for Boeing Aircraft in St. Louis. Now 70, Reich lives in O'Fallon, Missouri. The next story is entitled, Local Officials Tout Incentives Growth, by Derek Bay. Bloomington. McLean County has a lot to offer, but that's not always enough for it to thrive, officials said Wednesday. This is a very competitive world, and there are a lot of communities as good as McLean County competing, said Normal Mayor Chris Coos. Some people get upset about the dollar incentives municipalities give to businesses, and we take that seriously, but we also look at long-term vitality of the community. Coos, Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner, County Board Chairman John McIntyre, and other officials spoke about economic development and other community goals during the annual State of McLean County event held at the Hanson Student Center at Illinois Wesleyan University. Renner spoke about several local development projects, including Eastland Mall, the former Electrolux site on Main Street, and the former Bloomington Junior High School on Washington Street, that he hopes can bring new investment and tax revenue to the city soon. The city, town, and county all face budget issues caused by declining income and sales tax revenue, as well as poor fiscal management by the state. We are not going to cut our way out of every problem, said Renner. We want to grow the local economy so we don't have to raise taxes. Coos also addressed community issues, including housing, sustainability, and social equality, while laying out the town's long-term goals as spelled out in its new comprehensive plan. We have no more sacred obligation than to reduce economic inequality and to deliver opportunity to all our residents, he said. We have a commitment to public dialogue with explicit knowledge that discrimination and racism exists in our community, and we're not afraid to address it. McIntyre spoke about the county's sustained investment in mental health treatment, funded in part by city and town sales tax proceeds. He also praised BN Advantage, an effort that promotes the community to businesses. We need recognition of the public services we have because they are good, he said. Danvers Mayor Tom Casely, president of the McLean County Mayors Association, spoke on behalf of smaller local communities, which he said are concerned about larger entities, including the state and federal governments, balancing budgets by charging small towns that can fund only core services. He specifically cited a recent proposal to tax the entire county for Bloomington's Central Illinois Regional Airport. Here's a story entitled, Property Taxes for Unit 5 to Stay Stable, by Julia Evelsizer. Normal. Property taxes likely will remain stable or drop slightly for homeowners in McLean County Unit 5, assuming a minor increase to the district's property tax base. On Wednesday, the Unit 5 School Board reviewed a tentative 2017 tax levy of nearly $113 million for taxes payable in 2018, showing a 2.97% increase over the 2016 levy of $109 million. Unit 5 business manager Marty Hickman expects those numbers to change slightly once the final extension, the amount of property tax money the district actually receives after various adjustments, such as legal limits on tax rates, is calculated in the spring. Hickman anticipates the final extension to equal $110 million, an increase of 0.81% from 2016. For the owner of a $165,000 home, whose property value did not change from last year, the district's share of the property tax bill should be about $2,753, a drop of $5 from last year's bill of $2,758. Illinois public school districts rely heavily on local property tax revenue. At Unit 5, just over 61% of revenue for the education fund, which pays for most operating expenses, comes from property taxes, followed by 23% from state revenue, 8% from federal revenue, and 8% from other local sources. Unit 5 received more than $60 million in 2016 tax revenue for the education fund from property owners. The levy is calculated based on the equalized assessed value, EAV, or total taxable value of property in the district. The estimated EAV for the normal base district tops $2.27 billion. The estimated growth to property is just less than 1% from the prior year. Most of that came from new construction, which was just over $19 million, up slightly from last year, said Hickman. The levy will be adopted in December. Also at Wednesday's meeting, the board unanimously approved a Welcoming Schools resolution to ensure inclusivity and protection for all students in the district, especially those from immigrant families. Students and teachers were very passionate about this resolution, said board member Tanya Leffler. We believe it is in the best interest of our students, and we're very proud to be a part of it. The resolution, nearly identical to one passed by Bloomington District 87 in September, reiterates the national law declaring no public school can deny a child access to public education based on immigration status. The district also states the presence of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement employees could disrupt learning environments for students and, unless required by law, Unit 5 will not disclose any information about a student's immigration status. And here is another school district story entitled, District 87 Expects Slight Enrollment Drop in 2018, by Lenore Sabota. Bloomington. Overall enrollment in Bloomington District 87 schools is projected to drop slightly in fall 2018, continuing a slow downward trend since fall 2012. At the end of September, there were 5,337 students enrolled in District 87 schools, according to a report presented to the school board at its meeting Wednesday night. That was up a bit from the previous September, when it was 5,292, but down from the high of 5,624 in 2012. Next fall, enrollment is projected to be 5,280, board members were told. Superintendent Barry Riley said there are several factors in the decline, but a major one is changes that are happening to the largest employer in town, State Farm. He said the shutdown of the Mitsubishi Motors North America auto assembly plant in Normal also had an impact. The overall decline of about 300 students is the equivalent of a small school, such as Sarah E. Raymond School of Early Education, which houses preschool programs, noted Riley. But because the loss is spread throughout the district, it doesn't have a big impact on staffing levels, he said. Because the portion of Bloomington that is within the boundaries of District 87 has no room for major residential development, the district doesn't see major upward swings in student population. That relative stability makes it easier to plan, however, said Riley. Although the district is expecting an enrollment decline overall in 2018, Bloomington High School is projected to jump from 1,395 this September to 1,479 next September. That's because Bloomington Junior High School had a few years of higher enrollment, and those students are moving up into the high school, explained Cindy Helmers, Assistant Superintendent for Curriculum. The junior high's enrollment of 1,252 this September is projected to drop to 1,203 next fall. The racial makeup of the district also is slowly changing. The percentage of white students is 49%, having declined from 58% in 2008. The percentage of black students has remained relatively unchanged at 23% over the 10-year period. The percentage of Hispanic students, however, has increased from 9% in 2008 to the current 14%. The multiracial category also has increased from 7% to 10%. The percentage of Asian students has remained stable at 4%. "We really celebrate the fact that our district is diverse," said Herschel Hanna, Assistant Superintendent of Human Resources. "We serve our students very well." An analysis of transfers in and out of the district show most come from or go to McLean County Unit 5, more than one-third. Although based in Normal, Unit 5 includes many of the newer parts of Bloomington. The next highest percentage of transfers is students coming from or going out of state, 19% and 16%, respectively. About 2 to 3% are transfers from or to other countries. "As we become a more global society, we become a more mobile society," said Helmers. The next article is entitled, "Restaurant to Relocate. Outback Steakhouse will build standalone by Old Macy's site," by Maria Nagel. Bloomington. A new restaurant will be built in the former Macy's parking lot at Eastland Mall, but the eatery already is familiar to Twin City diners. Outback Steakhouse will move from the Landmark Plaza Shopping Center at 1409 North Veterans Parkway to the intersection of Veterans and Empire Street. Jeff Allen, Senior Project Manager in Development for the mall owner, Chattanooga, Tennessee-based CBL Properties, disclosed the move at Wednesday's meeting of the Bloomington Planning Commission. The commission unanimously recommended the restaurant site plan to the City Council, which may vote on it December 11th. Allen said he did not know why the restaurant was moving. Curtis Akers, a partner in the building that currently houses the restaurant, referred all questions about the restaurant to Outback Steakhouse Media Relations in Tampa, Florida, which could not be reached Wednesday night. Akers said the restaurant opened at its current site in 1998 and employs about 70 people. The city's zoning ordinance requires a site plan review for properties in a C3 zoning district, which is for community and regional shopping centers, said Bloomington City Planner Katie Simpson. In the site plan submitted to the city's Community Development Department, a new building is labeled as a standalone restaurant pad in the northeast corner of the mall property. The vacant Macy's store would be to the west and the Sears Automotive Center to the south of the site. A land lease agreement calls for Outback Steakhouse to construct and lease the building, while CBL will retain ownership of the land. "Assuming we get City Council approval, it moves forward in the spring, and they are open by Thanksgiving next year," said Allen. Outback Steakhouse is a tenant in other malls owned by CBL Properties. "We do have a good relationship with Outback. We have other lease agreements on other properties with them," said Allen. "I think it's fantastic that longtime restaurant Outback Steakhouse wants to invest further in the city of Bloomington by constructing one of their new concept-style buildings and be a part of the wonderful new developments that will be occurring soon at Eastland Mall," said Bloomington Economic Development Coordinator Austin Grammer. "That includes the redevelopment of the mall's JCPenney site, which is underway," he added. An Eastland Mall site plan on its website shows Planet Fitness plans to occupy 20,119 square feet of the 71,000 square foot former JCPenney store. Plans for the redevelopment of the former Anchor store have been submitted to the city, and we're almost ready to pick up our building permits for both Planet Fitness and a still unnamed national fashion retailer, said Allen. "We are literally expecting a signed lease from the fashion retailer this week or next week," said Allen. "Until it's signed, I am not at liberty to say who that is." Allen had no new information about CBL's plans to fill the former Macy's store. And here's a story entitled, ACLU Leader, Civil Rights in Danger from Trump, by Edith Brady Lunny. Bloomington. Policy changes promoted by the Trump administration threaten civil liberties in many areas and put vulnerable people at risk for discrimination, a leader with the Illinois American Civil Liberties Union, told a Twin City audience Wednesday. Ed Yonka, Director of Communications and Public Policy for the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois, highlighted three areas where he said the potential for discrimination and reversal of current policy is greatest: civil rights based on sexual orientation, women's reproductive rights, and immigration. The concerns expressed by citizens who view the president's policies as dangerous should not be viewed as personal attacks, said Yonka. It would be a mistake to think this is about opposition to the president. It's about opposition to policies and their impact, said the speaker. That opposition has led to tremendous growth in ACLU membership, said Yonka, and participation in the group's programs. Gay, lesbian, and transgender people face new challenges to employment and other opportunities since Trump's election, said Yonka. The government has filed court briefs that argued people in the U.S. should be able to be fired because they are gay and lesbian, said Yonka, noting that the shift in policy is contrary to previous anti-discrimination positions taken by the federal government. Arguments at the U.S. Supreme Court, scheduled for December 5th, on whether a bakery in Colorado had the right to refuse to bake a wedding cake for a gay couple, will provide guidance on the employment issue. A wedding cake may seem an unlikely premise for a Supreme Court challenge, but the potential for discrimination posed by the case should not be ignored, according to the ACLU spokesman. The direct correlation between access to birth control and the increase in employment opportunities for women could be broken, said Yonka, if the Trump administration is successful in making contraception less available. Immigrants who entered the country illegally and who live in fear of deportation, including those who are part of the program that allows young people to attend college and work without the deportation threat, find themselves facing Trump's relentless campaign to tighten immigration laws, said Yonka. An immigration policy has to be rational. You can't deport 11 million people overnight, Yonka told the audience of more than 100 people. The speaker noted the elimination of a priority system for determining who should be deported has resulted in fewer people being sent back to their country of origin since January, an ironic twist for a president determined to reduce the number of immigrants who entered the U.S. illegally. Yonka urged people to contact their representatives in Congress and urge swift action on legislation that would allow young immigrants to remain in the country under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. We ought not leave these kids hanging into the new year, said Yonka. And here are some public safety announcements by Edith Brady Lunny. Controlled substance. A Bloomington man faces drug charges. Carl F. Medaris, 38, of the 800 block of West Washington Street, is charged with unlawful delivery of a controlled substance near a church and unlawful possession of drugs. He was jailed in lieu of posting $100,035 on the Class 10 felony charges. LSD. A 28-year-old Bloomington man is charged with two drug offenses. Luke Wright, of the 1300 block of Ewing Street, is charged with unlawful delivery of a controlled substance, LSD. He was jailed in lieu of posting $100,035 on the allegations related to an alleged drug transaction in June. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for November 9th. Please stay tuned.